Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, October 29th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Crazy, crazy day today. We're going to have a little
interesting day. That's for sure. I don't know if it's crazy, but it's interesting.
Oh, it'll drive interesting days will drive you crazy. So today, Wednesday, October 29th, we usually have Wendy Wilson joining us for the first segment of the program. She has been rescheduled to tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And we have Greg Hunter joining us this afternoon, beginning here in just a few short minutes. But first, let's go ahead and look at the market report. A lot of strange things happened right after the Fed came out and announced their policies. And, of course, everybody knows that the policy was no more QE. Ooh. But the Fed funds rate, which is really the important number, still is going to remain low. So they're not going to change that. So you had markets were actually down triple digits, and there was scuttlebutt that $1 billion came into the market in the last minutes of trade, maybe the last half hour of trade, and brought those triple digits, took them away. But let's first go to gold, and it certainly had an impact on gold. When that happened, you had gold down basically $17 at $1,211. Silver's down 15 cents at $17.14. Platinum is down 8 at $12.65, and it's interesting to see palladium up 2 at $798. The U.S. DX today, of course, had benefits from the announcement from the Fed, up 0.56 and teetering at that 86 level. 86.00 level. Crude oil today was up 80 cents at 82.22. And let's see what the final numbers are to the Dow did come back. Only down, it's changing numbers here. We'll let the last few numbers. It looks like it's down 31 points at 16,974. NASDAQ was down 15 at 45.49, and the S&P down 2 at 19.82, and the 10-year yield 0.04 to the positive at 2.32%. That also And we actually saw a little bit higher than 2.32% earlier. So we can say our goodbye QE. How long do you think that will be before another program? But we already talked about the homeowners programs that are being started up the first, I believe, the 1st of November. Is that correct, Al?
If you say so, Melody, it must be right. I'm pretty sure. But to say the truth, homeowners programs, you're talking about subprime.
That's correct.
Yeah, I'd say that's true. All right, we talked about it. I don't recall the date when they were going to necessarily start it up, but it was intended
to be
soon.
It was starting, because I believe that the commentary was that it would be right after the stimulus ended. And what's interesting now, I mean, this has been going on for 6 years, and it doesn't include TARPs and all the other bailouts that the Federal Reserve provided during the 2008 recession crisis, whatever you want to call it anymore. And here we are today, and the real positive that you see is basically the stock market. You still have the middle class. You still have Main Street. They're having problems. Most of the people in this country, I saw a poll earlier today that, you know, people believe that the stimulus really didn't help the economy. It only helped the stock market, and it helped the wealthy people. And, of course, you know, those two go hand in hand because the wealthy people own the stock market. So, but as far as middle class and the middle class, and
you can't stop talking. Just read the instant messages, Melody.
I know. It's
you got to get this multitasking thing going. You know, where you can talk and read at the same time, or you have to choose. Either I'm going to talk or I'm going to read, but you can't do both.
You didn't have to bring that to the audience.
Well, they're not paying any attention to me, Melody.
Women really, we do multitask better than men.
Yeah. We've been doing it much longer. Is women can mess up two things at the same time. A man can only mess up one. That's what it comes down
to. No, we multitask.
In any case,
let's multitask to Greg Hunter. I believe we have Greg Hunter on the line joining us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Greg.
Good afternoon to you guys, Melody, Alfred. Good to hear your voices and be on your program.
Well, it's good to have you here. And I've been watching, you know, you get some of the best interviews on radio. And I wonder, first question is, what have you heard in the last 30 days? I mean, you talk to people that are on cutting edge. What have you heard in the last 30 days that really surprised you?
I think the last time I was on, I said the universal idea, and I can't find a single person that doesn't think. Now, I have trolls on saying, oh, well, you know, the gold market, you know, it's gone down the last 3 years. Well, look at it on a long chart, really. Mm-hmm. The gold market's gone down. I think you pretty well have to admit that the silver market's manipulated. I actually heard a host a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I report on the media as well, what they're telling you and what is reality. And they were actually joking. It was, what's his name, from the New York Times, Neil Brook, and the other anchors joking about how the silver market's manipulated. Oh, everybody knows that. I think you can pretty much say the silver market's manipulated. Paul Craig Roberts and many others say the gold market's manipulated. The Plunge Protection Team, President's Working Group on Financial Markets. Come on, let's get real here, folks. The stock market's manipulated.
Yep.
The interest rate market with the trillions of dollars in interest rate derivatives is manipulated. Mm-hmm. The bond market is manipulated. The London Interbank Offered Rate, LIBOR, is manipulated. That's obvious. So come on, let's get real here about the manipulation, which they are not going to tell you on the mainstream media that this is all.
The game is fixed. It's an illusion.
Completely. I mean, come on. You can launder money. The banks laundered money for drug cartels, paid a fine. That's reported fact. So let me get this straight now. The banks that are doing the bidding of the Fed and the government are laundering money for drug cartels, and they just get to pay a fine. So what do they have to do to get thrown in jail. Okay, how about launder money for terrorist countries? OPEC.
I think the Tea Party. If they launder money for the Tea Party, that'll get them.
Yeah, well, you can launder money for a country, Sudan, Iran. This is reported. Paid a fine. So you can launder money for terror groups, terror countries on the State Department terror list. This isn't my list. This is the State Department's. So, I mean, really, I would like somebody in the White House press corps to stand up and ask Josh Earnest, hey, what would it take? Yeah, really, what would it take? They fix the LIBOR rate. They fix gold market. They insider trade on the stock market. They rig the interest rates with derivatives. They launder money for drug cartels in the billions of dollars. They launder money. Standard Charter did this along with Deloitte Consulting. They just got a year. I guess that's up now. A year exclusion from the from the financial markets. What exactly would it? They lied about liar loans. They packaged liar loans into securities and rated them AAA. They, when it all blew up, this is more manipulation. When it all blew up, they called it robo signing, like it was really fast. They were just signing stuff really fast when they were, indeed were committing forgery and perjury in front of the court, because a promissory note, and that's what they were forging, is just like a Federal Reserve note. It's a financial instrument. You can't go to Kinko's or to your beautiful laser jet copy machine and start copying out $100 bills on both sides and take them to 7-Eleven and start buying Slurpees and getting change. You can't do that. You can't do that with a promissory note either.
You can't do it.
You can't get a copy of a promissory note.
The whole system, that's the law. What you're talking about is the law, and then we have reality, which is a kind of illusion.
Listen, every single facet of the economy is manipulated. Let's get real here. Let me tell you, let's also get real. We're never paying back this $18 trillion that we have right
Absolutely.
Now, standing debt. We are never paying that. We never intend to pay it back. There is no movement to pay it back. We are never going to pay it back. And I know that. And when the rest of the world knows that, what do you think is going to happen to the Treasury market and the dollar market?
Well, that's the point to all of this, is that one man's debt is another man's asset.
Well,
and if
right,
that $18 trillion, if that's truly the number, and John Williams, he guesstimates
it's
up close to 90.
That's the official cash.
The official number. I understand.
It's not quite 18. It's like 17.8 something and 9 something.
Details. They don't pay attention to that. But the point is, if that debt can't be paid, then
it won't be paid. There's no intention to pay it. No, it's not that it can't be paid. It can be. It will be paid. It ain't going to be the way that people think it's going to be paid, because I ask people all the time.
Inflation is going to be paid with inflation on one level.
It's going to be paid with your standard of living.
Enough,
it's going to be
paid off with cheaper dollars.
Yes. Yes.
But here's my point. If it turns out that the $18 trillion or thereabouts is part of the official debt, if you wipe out that debt, in and of itself, it doesn't seem like a bad thing when you just look at it superficially. But for every dollar of that debt, there is a corresponding debt instrument that someone's holding as an asset in someone's pension fund. And they all disappear. If the debt can't be paid, it means $18 trillion worth of paper debt instruments. Paper assets are going to vaporize. How is the economy going to withstand
with all kinds of derivatives and all kinds of other positions and all kinds of other stuff? And listen, I want to bring this into focus. I brought this up with my latest guest, and with Egon von Greyers, who runs Matterhorn Capital Management. And I asked him about. I said, "Well, you know, there's this. You know, I don't know what 12 or 13 or 15 trillion. I don't know exactly. I can't remember the number from John Williams. Dollars and dollar instruments, liquid dollar assets, bonds, dollars. You know, whatever held outside the country. You don't have to have everybody sell them all."
Yeah, I know.
I mean, think about this. What happens if they just, right now there's 8% of the of trade going on, according to the last measurement, which is a little bit more than the euro of the yuan. What happens if the yuan goes to, you know, another 12% in the next year? Let's say they're doing 20% of trade in the world. Well, when you start taking a look at the vast amount of dollars that are out there, and you start taking, that's what, $2, $3 trillion could be no longer be needed? Is that enough to crash the market? If somebody put $2 or $3 trillion into the market and didn't need it anymore, would that crash the bond market?
Yeah.
The answer is yes.
Here's one of the. Let me pose a question to you.
But to answer your question, so what have people? The unifying thing is that nobody knows the timing, and nobody knows exactly how they, nobody caught how they would, the criminal activity that they would do. I'm saying criminal. Sold our gold. They have no right to sell the people's gold of the United States, just like they have no right to sell the gold of the Swiss or anybody else. The best central bank. It's the gold of the Swiss. They're trying to get their gold. They're trying to get their currency back by gold by 20%. But that's the unifying thing, is that there's no way. This is just a matter of when. And I don't mean to sound like an alarmist. I don't mean to sound like a doom and gloomer. I mean to sound like a realist. The math is horrible. So anyway, I just wanted to finish my thought. Next.
No. All right. I don't doubt for a minute that we're caught in a world that is manipulated right now. And it would be refreshing and invigorating if we could actually step out and see what the truth is. I'd like to see the truth. Even if it were painful, I'd like to see the truth, if you catch my drift. But let me ask you this. If they're manipulating most of the markets and the economic indicators that we hear about, and the rest of that, if that's being manipulated and falsified, where can we find information, markets that are not manipulated? Because it seems to me they can't be manipulating the whole world. They may have a big handle, a strong handle on the West, on the United States. It's hard to say, but there's got to be places that are not manipulated. And it seems to me that those unmanipulated places, countries, markets, whatever, that's going to be the source of whatever finally cracks this system.
Well, it's just like the Shanghai precious metals market. I believe I know what the exact nomenclature of it is, but that's a non-futures market. That is a, you've got some gold to sell. Good, bring it out here. We put it right here on the floor. We'll sell it for you. Oh, no, you don't have it? I mean, you just want to buy some contracts. No. You have it to sell. We need to see it because we're going to deliver it. That's what the LBMA and that's what the COMEX market doesn't do on a whole. That's what they ought to be doing, but they turn into nothing more than gambling casinos and manipulation dens, where there's 100-to-1 to leverage, and there's no way that people are wanting to take a delivery on what half or a quarter of the mine production in a single day. I mean, they're doing this according to Paul Craig Roberts, former Assistant Treasury Secretary, and David Kranzler, who did a lot of research on the manipulation of the markets. Even Jim Rickards, who wrote The Death of Money best-selling book, it's just anybody who doesn't think that there are major manipulation in all the markets, that's embarrassing. But that's what the Shanghai Gold Exchange, so why would they start an exchange over there? Because they've got all this gold, the Chinese. They have been buying tons of gold. That's pretty much reported. I mean, that's verifiable. That's not some crazy internet myth. I think what you're seeing is that probably what you're not seeing is probably there's a lot more gold they've acquired than through back channels than what anybody would admit to. But at some point we're going to find out what they got. At some point, we're going to find out. And so the Chinese are saying, back to your question, what markets are not manipulated? Well, the Chinese want real price discovery. And they know the real price discovery is a lot higher than what it is now. But they're playing this game because they're buying it on the cheap.
There's a problem there with the Shanghai Gold Exchange, for example. From my perspective, they're selling physical gold at paper gold prices. It seems to me that they've got to add a premium onto the physical gold. They've got to add $50 or $100 to every ounce of physical gold they move. Otherwise, New York COMEX could be buying their gold at paper gold prices. They could be replenishing their gold reserves right now.
It's
foolish to sell physical at paper gold prices. It's a formula that's going to deplete them of their gold. It's not going to add more gold. It's going to deplete their inventory.
They're the ones that are adding to their inventory. They're the ones that are buying it. The Chinese.
China.
Oh, yeah. Okay. China, India, Russia. Russia just added, millions of ounces of gold to their reserves. And also China is also, going around with all these treasury holdings and buying everything they can, including houses in Detroit. They're buying houses in Detroit, the Chinese. And, you know,
I don't know. Are they smart or are they desperate? We'll answer that question when we return in a moment. Our guest is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Well, please stay tuned and we'll be back on Financial Survival.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand. Have a plan. Have peace and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk on Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cederstrom, and our guest is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Some of the best interviews that you can find on the internet. USAWatchdog.com. Before we get back to Greg, Melody, was there something you wanted to tell folks?
Yes. Today, I also want to mention that today is the stock market crash of October 29, 1929. And, of course, back then, everyone talked about and everyone was assured just that there was nothing to worry about. Everything is fine. We have it all under control. That's pretty much what the Federal Reserve has said today with them cutting the QE this time around. It's to assure people things are fine and everything is good. Well, for those of you who do not believe it's fine and you need to preserve your wealth, we're going to continue. We had a great response to the special yesterday, $50 over spot for 1 ounce gold eagle coins and $2.45 for 1 ounce silver eagles. And those silver eagles are
$2.45 over spot.
That's correct. $2.45 over spot for 2014 1 ounce silver eagles. So give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter.
All right, let's get back to our guest, Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Greg, are we we're talking about how much manipulation takes place in the markets. Are there any markets that aren't manipulated, or are we caught in a brave new world, very similar to what Aldous Huxley described in his novel from, what, maybe the 1930s?
The housing market is manipulated because interest rates are manipulated. The housing prices are manipulated because interest rates are forced, you know, unusually low. I mean, I keep telling people, if you have to have a house, then use it for a house, not as an ATM machine and not as a vehicle to flip and burn houses, unless you know what you're doing. Fabian Calvo knows what he's doing, but he'll buy 70 houses at a time. Okay? And he doesn't intend to hold them more than he has a $100 million, you know, a year buys and sells distressed property. But he knows what he is doing. So if you're going to get into real estate market and you're going to flip houses, you better know what you're doing. But if you have a house you're living in, then the value of the house, whether it goes up and down, is immaterial. But even the housing market is, but to your point, no, I hate to say this, but no, if the Federal Reserve and the powers that be are manipulating interest rates lower, if they're manipulating the currency higher, if they're manipulating the stock market higher with the buying, you know, call options on the S&P when, you know, the market drops 500 points in a day and boom, it comes right back up, right? I mean, Wall Street's in there catching that falling knife. If they're manipulating the LIBOR rate, which is trillions of dollars in interest rates are set off LIBOR, if they're manipulating the gold market, they're manipulating the silver market. I want to say something real simple, and this really hit me and stuck with me. And I'm not here to hawk gold or tell people I think everybody ought to have it. I know you guys sell it, and you're also a sponsor of my How to Buy Gold and Silver page, and I think everybody should have some if they can afford it. And they can afford to hold it in their portfolio as a piece of their portfolio. But Paul Craig Roberts, who was the assistant treasury secretary in the Reagan administration, invented, Reaganomics. And he is a PhD in economics, has a long career. And then he said something very simple to me that told him that the gold price was bogus. And he says, listen, the debt's going up. The price of the gold ought to be going up. I mean, when you start talking about $18 trillion, you know, cash deficit, year-on-year deficit, that's what they report, we're going on the hook for something like, I don't know, $6 or $7 trillion, according to ShadowStats.com, which is also reported in USA Today. They reported at one time, I think in 2011, that the real encumberment to the economy wasn't just a trillion or whatever they're reporting. It's really $5 trillion. They reported it in USA Today. I put it on my site, which, you know, it was about 6 months after John Williams said the real encumberment is. I mean, talking about everything. And so the debt's going up. And anybody, you're talking about a Federal Reserve note. You're talking about an instrument, and dollars get loaned into existence. I mean, that's as simple as I could put it. People can't fathom that concept. If you go out on the street and ask people, is a dollar backed by? Oh, yeah, it's backed by the, you know, the USS Nimitz. It's backed by the missile silos in North Dakota.
Yeah.
It's backed by our GDP, but it ain't backed by anything other than that. But, you know, you actually, money is loaned in. We've been told that debt is money. And we're going to find out.
Which is insane. If you stops to think about it, that's
that
just nutty.
Debt is not money. That debt is not a store of wealth. That debt is not an asset. That is not a premier asset. It is not. And I'm telling some other people, too, because they say, should I go out and buy gold? I don't know. How much money do you have? I mean, I can tell you what I think. I'm not a money manager. Oh, well, you're $10,000. God, don't buy gold. Go out and put tires on your car. Go out and buy yourself food and water. Have yourself some cash at home. Buy yourself a few silver coins. That's it. You know, don't go out and blow all your money because you don't know what they're going to do with the manipulation because it's manipulated. You don't know what they're going to do. You got to be able to have a strong hand and hold it through the times where it's sucked down and actually buy more and when the price is down, when it's on sale. That's what the Chinese are doing. That's what the Russians are doing. And so that's what the Indians are doing. And so the concept, think about this, folks. The debt is growing. Therefore, the money creation is growing. They're printing, they're loaning dollars into existence, even if it's loaned to the federal government. And so if the debt is growing and the dollar base is growing, then wow, shouldn't gold prices be going up? And the answer is yes, but that's, you know, that's the canary falling dead as a doornail in the coal mine. That's what happened when gold got to $1,900 an ounce. And if they had just let the markets, you know, roll, they just let the markets, you know, do what they want, you'd have probably topped out at 3,000 or 4,000, and maybe it would come down some. And but the product kills the dollar, that kills the buying power, that kills the bond market, that kills the funding mechanism of America, and it kills the international trade, because people will say, wow, I don't know if the dollar's going to crash, and I don't know. That's why people trade in the dollar, because it's relatively stable. But if the dollar becomes unstable, you know, like some of these other currencies, they could get paid one day, and the next day they can have their payment cut in half.
Yeah.
And that's therein lies. And the Chinese are going to fill the void. I mean, I'm telling you, the Chinese are setting up these yuan swaps or renminbi swaps. They're supposed to be setting one up in November in Canada. How long can the dollar, how much do they have to take out of the global trade to make the dollar crash? That's the question. Because it doesn't have to be all 12, 13, 14 trillion held up by the country. How much do they have to take out?
Well, it's one of those things. There's a psychological moment where all of a sudden – everybody moves at the same time.
Well, no,
and you won't see the moment. You won't see the moment exactly. Oh, I agree with that.
Big money's going to move before you will, and you're going to be like, what, huh? Here's something else. When you ask me, what do these people tell you that really sticks with you? Here's the one that sticks with me. Here, Jim Rickards, right? He writes, Currency Wars and The Death of Money. I think they're both now bestsellers, but I know Death of Money is a bestseller. And he says, you know, I have friends of mine, and I'm thinking, let's define it. I have friends of mine. This guy consults for the Pentagon. He was the team general for the financial war games they played in a couple of years ago. This guy consults for countries. Now, some people say he's a CIA shill. He says he's worked for the government. I mean, he's worked in a very high-level capacity. So it's, you know, I don't know, but he's a smart guy, I'll tell you that. So I try to take something from everybody. And when he said this to me, I thought, oh, boy, wow. This is big money getting it wrong. He says, I have friends of mine tell me, he says, hey, tell me when this thing's all going to crash. Because he talks about the snowflake moment. There's already enough snow on the mountain to have an avalanche. We've got enough snow. Now, all we need is what flake? What's going to be the snowflake moment where it crashes? And he says, I have friends of mine tell me, will you tell me the day before? I can't do that. You got to get ready now. You got to, because the day before, well, you ain't going to be able to find anything the day before, because Inside Money's already going to be there putting their bids on everything. And that's what's going to happen. You know, right now we have money going out of the Treasury, and you're selling coins, and you're selling Eagles and stuff like that, which is fantastic. You have a great business. You're honest folks. You do a great service to people by selling them and not selling them, you know, what they want without ripping them off. But at some point, I think you're going to get a situation. This is what Jim Rickards says too. You're going to get no bid. People are just going to freeze their sales. If they start seeing prices catapulting, and I don't want to tell you how to run your business, and I'm not telling you how to run your business, Melody. But at some point, maybe somebody might say, "Wow, it's going up $500 a day. We're not going to sell any today." That's what he says is going to happen all throughout the industry. Is that at some point you're going to have this snowflake moment? Everybody's going to want to rush into gold, and it's not
going to.
We've been
saying that for years, that there's not going to be enough product in order to supply the demand that will be coming in the future. And you have to look at also at human nature. Human nature, they buy things when things are going up, not going down. So it depends. I mean, if you're having a financial crisis around the world and you have that money being pulled out of all these accounts and so forth, it's got to go somewhere. But there isn't going to be any place for it to go, because there isn't going to be anything there for them.
And I think that's why these hedge funds are buying blocks of houses, because it's a physical asset that will, you know, ultimately pay a dividend. You know, you've heard all these terrible things about how they might have it. Go ahead.
But I've also talked to realtors who talk about these mutual funds that are out there buying up all this property, turning them to rentals. They're creating bonds with the assets from these rentals and so forth. And he goes on, and you know how that goes. So, I mean, he actually believes that situation could also put a major impact on these banks, because these banks and so forth are carrying all these homes on their books that they're not releasing. And so, I mean, that whole market is also ready to collapse. And this comes from a realtor out there in Nevada, and they certainly have had a hard time out there. But that was his big concern. His concern are these rental homes and how they're processing them. And it's difficult to make profits if you don't have people renting them.
Rent.
It's expensive. Yes. Yeah.
And the other thing is they're borrowing money for this. This is a lot of these things are paying cash, but it's cash with borrowed money. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I bet Calvo, who's been pretty spot on, he thinks that they're already rolling out the no money down loans. That's already happened. I'm going to have him on as a guest next week. He's a brilliant guy. I mean, when I was 35 years old, I was just like, I want to get a Camaro, man. And he's got $100 million. I feel like an adult. But anyway, he gave me in the pre-interview, he told me that, he says, they're going to roll out these nobody down loans. They're going to dump a lot of this product onto people with a nobody down loan. The illegals, they're going to make it so illegals can start buying houses again. They're going to, you don't have to be a citizen. It's going to be no doc, no money down loans. It's all going to happen. It's going to be deja vu all over again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is a way for the elite to get out. And, you know, the elite, I guarantee you that the elite, I just saw my latest interview with Egon von Greyers. And, you know, he is a specialist in wealth management for important, wealthy people. He's got hidden vaults in the Swiss Alps. He's got, vaults in China. He handles money and wealth preservation for big people. And big people are not shying away from the gold market. Big people are acquiring gold. Important people. I always, when I was a much younger guy in my first house, I escrowed my taxes for my house. And my neighbor who had his house paid off, he was like a chiropractor and had a few bucks and whatever. And I had just bought my house and I said I was, paying my, tax. He says, are you paying your taxes every month? Your real estate taxes. I said, well, yeah, it's escrowed. He says, don't do that. I said, why? He says, rich people don't do that. I said, what do you mean? He said, it's sick people saving your money for you. Don't do that. Pay your taxes at the end of the year. You get 20% loan to value. I did. He says, pay your taxes at the end of the year. That's what rich people do. I thought, I'm going to do what rich people do. I went down and got them to quit taking my monthly taxes out. Now, you can't be stupid. If you're stupid and you can't afford to save your own money and you can't afford to pay your taxes, and then, you do that. But I thought, I'm going to do what rich people do. I'm going to pay my taxes at the end of the year in one check. Boom. I don't know if the escrow account's going to go, under, and I'll still owe the taxes or whatever. I'm going to do it. Heck yeah! And so I'm telling people right now that rich people are buying gold. Rich people are putting a significant portion of their assets into gold. Silver heavy for rich people, but for normal people, silver eagles. I also tell people don't buy this junk, these dust and art bars and commemorative coin. Don't buy quality. Pay up and buy quality. Now, your thing, where you sell what, 250? What do you sell over a spot for eagles? How much
for
is your
silver?
Your,
for silver eagles, they're $2.45 over, and for gold eagles, it's $50.
Yeah, that's
special.
A deal. I mean,
it's a really, really good deal.
And the other thing, I wrote a big thing on my How to Buy Gold and Silver page. I said, listen, if you think, and I think it will go way up, because it's under mine production now. I mean, the mine production, according to the sources I talked to, is 25, 22, 23, 20, 21. It's 20-something dollars in the low to mid-20s to mine silver. You're talking $17.50. You're talking about paying a commission and still getting it below the mining cost. I can't see how that's not going to be a long-term a significant a portion of some. Why it shouldn't be a significant portion of somebody's portfolio? And this is the rich people are buying something other than paper. They're owning their own houses. They're buying companies. That's what Warren Buffett does. Warren Buffett, what did he buy? Burlington Northern. Well, that's a commodities play. What does he move? He moves commodities. He bought a railroad. Well, why doesn't he just buy treasury bonds? Why doesn't he just sit? He is sitting in cash because I think he's doing the inflation deflation game where if we have deflation, he'll have some cash. Although deflation is the destruction of debt, and gold works on both ends of the extreme. If you have big inflation or if you have big deflation, gold works because you can't destroy it. I mean, you hold it, you have the asset. It's not like a bond where it devalues. It's not like, I've got a mortgage-backed security, and all these people went belly up on their homes. Oh, there's no equity in there. I mean, gold is gold. And it should be a part of everybody's portfolio, but rich people are buying gold. I'm telling you, Egon von Greyer's business is not cratering. It's growing with the price of gold. Everybody's like, wow, it's on sale. And you know, that's just a hard thing for people. But you got to be able to hold it through the dips. You have to be able. Jim Sinclair at JS Mindset. You have to be able to hold your trade. The best trades are trades you can hold. You know what the direction is, right? You have Paul Craig Roberts. The debt is growing, so gold should be going up in price. And you got to be able to hold your trade. They want you to think that this stuff is, oh, this is a relic, this is worthless, this is, no. But that's the financial picture is god-awful terrible, and I hope it doesn't end. And this is what the other universal thing is. A lot of people, Charles Nenner on, he thinks there's going to be a big war cycle. He thinks, war cycle is big. He says, listen, the Iraq and the Afghanistan wars surely show up as a blip in the war cycle. And the reason why is because there's not enough dead people. Now, you think about that. You're talking war cycles like World War One, World War Two, where the millions and millions of people die. And he's saying that that's what he's worried. That's what keeps him. Because I asked him at the end of the interview, kind of an offhanded, "What keeps you up at night? War?" "Oh, really? Yes, war." And he started explaining about the war cycles and how Iraq, Afghanistan, that doesn't even show up. It's a blip.
Let's talk more about the war when we return. We're going to break for some commercials. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom, and our guest is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Please stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom and our guest, Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. You recently interviewed Andy Hoffman, and he made a fairly interesting and perhaps outrageous observation. Andy says, the fact is the global economy has collapsed. Our real economy has collapsed. He's not saying that we're on the verge of a collapse. He's saying collapse is already in progress. It is properly here, and we just haven't exactly recognized it, or at least that's the implication. What do you think about that? What do you think about the argument that the economy, both globally and nationally, have already collapsed?
Let's backtrack a little bit to the manipulation whole thing about the manipulation thing. What do you think the manipulation is all about? The manipulation is about propping up the economy. What would happen to real estate, like Melody was talking about, the realtors were worried about, what would happen to the price of real estate if interest rates, just went to 7%, which is still historically low. What would happen to the real estate market crash? They can't just say, well, we want low interest rates. They have to do something to make them low. Okay? Gregory Mannarino, he said the kind of same thing Andy Hoffman said, is that this is a side effect. We've done it, collapsed. It's gone. It's collapsed. We would have been better off if we had just gone ahead and dealt with it then, and we wouldn't have printed all this money. We save our buying power, our printing power to clean up the mess and jail some people. Why do you think no big bankers have gone into jail? No big bankers. I used to just think it was just lame. No, because I think the big bankers are doing the bidding of the government. Popping up, because if the dollar goes, the whole military-industrial complex goes poof. You got bases all around the world.
But it has to go.
It's everything's going to get repriced. And I will tell you that the Wall Street Journal is reporting. You can see their version of the article on Zero Hedge. But Greenspan, recently came out and said a good place to put money these days, given its value as a currency outside the policies conducted by government. Gold is a good place to put money. Alan Greenspan, former Federal Reserve chairman, said gold. Don't take my word for it. Listen to Alan Greenspan. Now, in order for him to say this publicly, that means this is a total agreement by all the powers that be, and wink, wink, nod, nod, I'll tell you little people what the rich people are doing. And that's what the rich people are doing. And so yes, the economy has collapsed because without the manipulation of LIBOR, without the manipulation of the pledge protection team in the stock market, without the massive interest rate derivative complex, why doesn't the government step in and stop that? Why don't they step in? That's obviously, we just had 25 banks fail their stress test in Europe, and Egon von Greyer says, I think that top 100 banks in Europe would all fail under a real stress. The banking system is kaput. It's done. The whole thing is done. And in 2008, the debt of the world was about 70 trillion. The GDP of the world was around 70 trillion, a little less. Now the debt of the world is 100 trillion. We grew the debt. We made the problem worse. The banks are, 30 or 40% bigger, the five biggest banks in America. The problem is worse, and people are being told, and this is what I say all the time, is that there is no real recovery. You don't have a recovery. People say, you keep saying the same thing. Well, the mainstream media keeps saying the same thing, too. We've got a recovery. Things are going great. We got 4.6% growth. Look at the one foot. That's a lie. You can't have 92.6 million people not in the workforce and have a recovery. And I'll tell you, John Williams says, the jobs they say they recreated, boom, it's a zero. Net, it's a zero. There's been no real net job growth in America. Net job growth. There hasn't. And the jobs that have come on are, I want to say they're, 80% or so, part-time jobs. Nobody wants to pay and wait until 2015 rolls around. You haven't seen the big, giant, a hip waiter boot that's going to drop in Obamacare. When your companies are going to start saying, this is too expensive, we're going to put you into the into Obamacare. You go get insurance from the government, which is nothing more than a control and a rationalization system. You wait until everybody thinks, look at Obamacare. You don't even know what it is. It's working really good. No, it's not. You don't even know what it is. Hundreds of exemptions and stuff that they put off until after the election. Oh, you don't even know what it is. You got to find out what it is. This is a disaster to the economy. I'm just talking about the economy. I mean, you talk about a boat anchor drag on growth and businesses, and I have no intention of hiring any employees for my company. None. Zero. Most businesses are not looking to hire any full-time people in general. None. They're not going to do it.
I have read something years ago about the Great Depression. And in retrospect, we look back and we say the Great Depression started in 1929 with the stock market crash. But the article, but the article I read said, in fact, there wasn't a general consensus that there was a depression until 1933. In retrospect, we look back and say, oh, 1929 is when it started. But people went for 4 years without being generally convinced that we're in a depression. And the point then is, could the same thing be happening right now?
Well,
we may have been in a depression since 2008, although in retrospect, they'll write about it and say the Great Depression of 2008. But we might not figure it out until 2015.
Well, if you look at the news articles from the Great Depression, I mean, from 20 and 30 and 31 and 32, I mean, you know, the economy's getting better, everything's going okay, no worries, everything's fine, it's good. I mean, you know, one article after another. I think it's on the one of the beginning articles in my weekly news on my site, or I think I may have been doing it when I was writing for Jim Sinclair over at JS Mindset. But I put all these quotes about how the media basically covered it up. It's the media thinks it's their job to not create panic, which is just the opposite of what they ought to be doing. They ought to be informing people. So instead of lying to them about how, you know, you've heard this ridiculous lie, the recovery, we have a market recovery led by lots of money printing. And what people don't realize is that, my free health care. That's not free. Somebody has to pay for that. Somebody has to pay for it. I mean, what they did with health care, they should be totally ashamed. You know, sex change operations, abortions, birth control pills, dental, vision. I mean, oh, God, nothing's too good. Nothing's too good for people who have no money. And I don't mean to sound like an elitist, but, hey, somebody's got to pay for that. There is no free lunch. And you're going to have it paid for with part-time labor. You're going to have it paid for with part-time jobs. You're going to have it paid for with, you know, your reduced standard of living. I mean, the Democrats plan, and I'm not a Republican, but this is ridiculous to me. Oh, we're going to raise your minimum wage. That's it? That's your business plan? You're going to give people working in minimum skilled, minimum wage jobs an extra dollar an hour to trap them there? Really? That's it? That's unbelievable. You should get paid commensurate with the market and your skill level. Get better skills. Get better jobs. Get better industries. We are totally falling down on what we ought to be doing to get the economy better. And money, people don't realize the laws of money. Hey, listen, you can't take money and abuse it. Money will go where it's treated best. Period. The end. I don't care who it is. Money will go where it's treated. Look at Al Gore, Mr. Rainforest, ice caps would be gone by now. Wrong. Now, he could have sold out to Glenn Beck. He would have taken $50 million less, but, you know, he didn't have to sold out to Glenn Beck. He could have sold out to somebody else other than an oil-producing country, a hydrocarbon-producing country, Kuwait, Al Jazeera. Why couldn't he have done that? Because money goes where he went to where the best deal. They had more money, and that's what happened. That's what he did. And look at the ultra-liberal Al Gore. I don't care whether you're liberal or whether you're conservative or whatever. You know, I mean, both parties just take turns ripping us off. So, but, you know, money, you got to treat money the best. You have to. Money will go where it's treated best, and this is the problem.
Exactly.
You're never going to get the economy going with this kind of ridiculous left-right fight over, and the banks ought to be, you know, we've ruined our credibility around the world. What is a financial system other than a confidence game? We've ruined our credibility. We ought to be jailing bankers. I mean, jailing, of course, it's hard to jail people that are doing your bidding. You know, then they find out, the government told me to do this. Here's an email where, you know, the Treasury Secretary Geithner or whoever told us it was okay. That's what I think's happening.
Let me ask you, one of your interviews was with Harvey Organ, and
yes.
You've interviewed him at least twice that I'm aware of, I believe.
No, just once.
Twice, and it just once? I thought it was
just
twice.
Just once. Yep, I brought him up.
You know that his website was taken down. His blog was taken down, supposedly on government orders. There was some sort of a court order that has not been produced, so far as I know, yet, but his blog was taken down. And Harvey thinks it's all going to hit the fan before the end of this year. Now, we're talking in the next 8 or 9 weeks. That's what we're talking about here. Do you think Harvey's prediction is reasonable, rational, and beyond that? I mean, is it plausible and beyond that valid?
Well, listen, I put as many voices on as I can. And I try to put voices on that say, here's what I think and here's why I think, not, you know, I got a Ouija board or I think the stars aligned up this way or whatever. I put him on because he is one of the very few people that studies the inventory rates at LBMA and at the COMEX. And also the Shanghai Exchange you were talking about. And he says, you know, they're depleting this gold and silver at a record rate. And they are also, you know, rigging the go-for rates, you know, the forward rates. And so he says this, and it gets, I don't know, 200,000, you know, video views. It's all over the internet. And he says this, and a month later, boom, he's got a quarter. Now, he says Google, because it was a Blogspot thing, so it's a Google product. He says, Google says they have a court order. Why don't they produce it? And yeah. I got an email from him from today, this morning, that says they still have refused to give the court order. Now, they refused it. So they have a court order. That's what Google says, according to Harvey Organ. Harvey Organ says that they refused to give it to him.
But we're not
now. Let's speculate. Now I'm going to speculate. Those are the things we know as fact. That his Blogspot was taken down. Google says it was a court order, and he's asked repeatedly for the court order, and they refuse to give it to him. Fact, fact, fact. Those are facts. Now let's speculate. This is my speculation. Whew! What happens if that court order comes in and it's from the Treasury Department? Oh my goodness! What happens if it comes in and it's COMEX that has put in this, somebody has to be on the other side of the order. Somebody has to be on the other side of the court order.
And if we know who that is, we can speculate.
Holy smokes. Oh my goodness. Because they're, you know, unless they're lying that there isn't a court order, they just took it down, wink, wink, nod, nod, because, hey, can you take this down? Sure, we'll say it's a court order. That may be true, too. I don't know. We're talking about speculation. I want to clearly say this is speculation, but whoo, boy, who's on the other side of the court order? What does
well,
it say
does
as a reason for taking it down?
The story blog's taken down.
Well, it's not because of any kind of copyright infringement. They would just come out and say, hey, you took somebody's your work. And Horgan's been on since 1999. Everybody loves him. He credits everybody's work. He gets permission or he gets credit or courtesy. So he's very good about he doesn't plagiarize. You know, he's that. So, the problem is that we don't know. I try to get him booked on the show. He won't come on yet because he doesn't. Come on and tell you this, you know, this one. No, they still refuse to give it to us. And he's worried that this is, you know, this is a scary thing. Now, did they take his site down because he's a crazy loon and he's way off base? Or
no, if they did that, they'd take down half the sites on the internet.
Or did they take his site down because, that nicked the bone?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's my
we don't know, but it's again, it's the kind of evidence where you sit back and say, it really makes you think that maybe he's right. It's not evidence that he is right, but it's evidence that he might be right. People in positions of power don't want him talking and telling what he apparently knows. That's the implication of this.
Well, he got down to the nitty-gritty of what's going in and out of the COMEX and LBMA and where the levels are for SLV, that's the exchange-traded fund for silver, and GLD, exchange-traded fund for gold. And he's gone down to the nitty-gritty, and I have said this. I said, what happens when they cannot or will not? They're not going to give their last ounce of gold and last ounce of silver. They're not going to clean it out. Somebody's going to stop and say, wait a minute, no, stop. So what happens when they say...
And when it stops, this whole thing begins to unfold and perhaps...
Oh, my goodness.
We're going to have to leave it at that, Greg, because we are out of time. I want to thank Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com for being our guest on the program. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer, and Greg Hunter. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
Ain't it sad?